Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dave Colonen, and I have a guest today. Giff Briner's on vacation, and here comes along Brian Warner. He is on our board here at WPFG. He pastors a church in Churchtown, Church of God. Quite a guy. We had a great conversation yesterday. I think you'll be wanting to hear what Brian has to say about life. Wow. And we want to talk about that today. Welcome aboard, Brian.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be back.
Question.
Yes, sir.
We're good at questions. Giff and I like to stomp each other in the ground with a question that he can't answer. I love it. When he stumbles and falls and sits there and says, what'd you ask me that for?
People grow one question at a time. That's what I always say. One question at a time, one conversation at a time. So let's have at it.
Where is Churchtown?
Churchtown is, most people know where the intersection of Route 74 and 174 is. And if you are there, where that Rutter's is on the corner, you're very close to Churchtown.
Okay.
You just head on 174 and toward Mechanicsburg and don't blink. It's right there at Monroe Township. Don't blink. You'll go right through it.
So the church is right on Main Street.
There's one intersection there on Old Stonehouse Road. Look up to your right. You'll see a white steeple. That's us.
And you've been pastoring there for 5 years.
188 years. Oh, wait, that's how old the church is. I've been pastoring there 5 years. The church was formed in 1833.
Wow.
Yeah, how about it?
Same building?
Now, the building was built, the brick and mortar that they're in now, the original sanctuary, was built in the 1850s. A half a mile on up the road, you'll see our old cemetery. That's where the revival took place in 1833. And they had a wooden structure there for about 20 years or so, 25 years.
I think it'd be an honor to pastor an old church like that.
It's the fourth oldest church in our denomination on the West Shore. So there's three churches that are older. It was planted by the founder of our denomination, John Weinbrenner.
Are you allowed to be the pastor for as many years as you mm-hmm. want?
Yeah.
It's not a four-year tenure.
No, there's no tenure-type position. The polity of the church is Presbyterian, so to speak, with the board of elders and all of that. But that does not extend necessarily to the pastorate. The congregations are semi-autonomous in choosing their own pastors.
Are you married?
I am married.
Married with kids.
28th of this month is our, oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, be with me, 28th year.
28th year.
Kelly, is it our 29th year?
Your family's listening, brother.
Yeah, I know. But the 28th of this month is our 29th anniversary. 29th, because 28 on the 28th last year. We went to Jamaica, so that was cool. I remember that. So it's 29th year. But yeah, two grown children, one 22 and one 20 years old. And the 22-year-old is deeply involved in business and getting his business degree and managing business. The 20-year-old, she's going to be 20 in a few weeks, really, is a double major at Geneva College in biblical studies and biblical languages. A minor in philosophy. I know. You're shaking your head, and I shake my head. She studies things that I can't even spell, so, you know, let alone all the Greek and Hebrew that she knows. So.
Right.
Wow. Anyway, can you tell I'm kind of proud? So we could spend the next 25 minutes talking about my kids.
Hey, I got a lot of years on you, boy. Yeah. You talk about being proud. I got two more great grandkids coming in a couple of months.
See, my son, he'll be married in October, and I'm waiting for that. So I can't wait to be pop-up.
Well, they don't have to have babies for 10 years, you know. You can be a long way off.
No, that ain't the way it's going to work. I'm on one now. So.
Yes, we're enjoying our family. Boy, when we go by a special holiday or when we get somebody that can come to the house and live for a couple of days, that's real life.
Oh, yeah. There's no
real
doubt.
Life.
No doubt.
You know, we were talking about what we were going to talk about today, and I said I wasn't really sure that we should talk about demons.
Demons.
You want to change your mind on that kind of?
Absolutely not.
There's people still troubled by demons in our world. I know that.
Yeah.
And maybe some of them are tuned our way today. Hey, yeah. Why don't you give us some information about demons? Have you ever been around a demon, and how did they react to Jesus, the name of Jesus?
Well, scripturally, I mean, we need to remember that the demons are the only ones who recognized Jesus as the Christ. Humans rejected him. Humans couldn't get it through their thick skulls. Humans had all of these issues with it. But when Jesus comes upon a demon, we hear them scream. Oh, what do you want with us, O Son of Man? You know, that sort of thing. They beg him on certain occasions not to cast them into the pit, but to cast them, you know, cast us into the swine. All of these different situations. So we see the manifestation of demonic possession in as many contexts as there are people in the world. Now, let me explain that. Hollywood gives us this image, right? This exorcist image, and then the heads are spinning around, and the room is all multicolors, and people are levitating, and it's disgusting and gross. Demonic possession certainly can look like that if that's the way it goes, but demonic possession is really just giving yourself over to the world in rebellion of God. Once you've done that, you've chosen satanic possession over Holy Spirit possession. I believe very strongly in that spiritual warfare that so many people speak of, and that each and every soul on earth matters. Each and every soul on earth matters to God because He loves each and every soul on earth so much. Each and every soul on earth matters to Satan because Satan hates God so much. And every individual that he can snatch out of his hand or keep away from his hand, he's going to do.
Have you ever been around a person that had a demon and was willing to talk with you in with a demon vocabulary?
Well, I've never been involved in a situation where it is known, right? This individual is possessed, as we would say in our culture, where he's possessed, he or she is possessed, and we're seeking to exorcise that demon, and I've heard that sort of thing. I've been involved with people who have gone through that situation as a part of my education and as a part of my travels. I have seen deliverance, as I'm sure we have, in churches. And we could call that an exorcism of sorts, when the chains of addiction or the chains of whatever have an individual in their bondage and they are delivered from that position at that moment. And that's an exciting thing to see when the Holy Spirit touches and that the chains are broken. And I just believe that demon lets go of his grip at that point in time. Again, it doesn't mean that the person's head is spinning around. It means the Holy Spirit has touched. That person's heart is genuinely open to receiving, and that chain is broken. They are delivered from whatever the case may be. And I've been in just very, what I guess people would call mundane situations, where folks who have just been living as a part of the world, given over to the world, given over to Satan's activities, all of the greed and selfishness and all the things that we do, who has come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, rejected Satan and the God of this world, and turn to Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Spirit. All of those contexts is what I would like us to see when we talk about demons and the Holy Spirit, and we talk about satanic possession as opposed to being possessed as a child of God.
I went to Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Went to Haiti for an opportunity to speak to an open-air revival for 4 or 5 days. I went with my pastor from Barbados. I was there on a missionary journey. And we went to Haiti to care for an orphanage that our church had taken care of for a few years. When we got there, we went to bed, and boy, all I could hear was drums. Mm. And I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's the devil church. That's where the demons all go, and they're playing the drums because they're beating them to bring you the spirits from Africa."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Pastor, I don't want to go there." He said, "Oh, you're going." He said, "We gotta go and find out what our competition is." I said, "I know what our competition is. I don't have to go see the devil church." Well, he said, "No, you're working for me, and I'm going, and you're coming with me. We're going to learn what it's all about." The next day we went to the church, and then we met the pastor. They have a pastor of the church.
Oh, yeah. Same terminology, same type of stuff, like I said, you know.
And he said, "Okay," he said, "I'll tell you guys, welcome to our church, and we're going to be starting in about 10, 15 minutes. He said, "The first thing that's going to happen is we got to take 30 minutes of beating the drum to get the demons to come from Africa.
Mm.
It's going to take them 30 minutes to cross the ocean and to come to our little town here in Haiti."
Mm.
They're the best drummers I ever heard. I mean, there's about six of them. They begin to drum. I thought I was going to be bored silly. Well, I was fascinated with what they could do with the drums. And finally, the spirits came. It gave them power to, they ate a glass in front of us. A glass, a real glass. They chomped on it and got down into it and was eating it and crunching it with their teeth and swallowing it. And they killed a goat in front of us.
Yeah.
And drank the blood, and when they drank the blood, that brought the power. They could do anything. It was a fascinating service.
Yeah. Culturally, I mean, what you're saying is just as, and this is what I want folks to understand. However Satan needs to work in a certain culture, however best and most efficiently he can do what he wants to do, he'll do it. If it looks like that, the folks there culturally are going to respond to that. And then the choice that they need to make is clear. Here in America, it can often look very, very different. Do you just simply, consumerism. Look at, you know, you give yourself over to consumerism and reject all of this spiritual, mystical nonsense. Same result as the people in Haiti. Satan is working in two different ways in two different contexts. And that's what I want folks to understand. There's a great old saying that wherever God is active, Satan is equally as active. Now, it doesn't speak to the power of God versus the power of Satan and all of those different things, just the activity. Because like I said, every soul matters. It matters to Satan and God for different reasons, but every soul matters. And if you choose not to decide, you've made your choice. That's where we stand.
Listen, I learned a big lesson while I was there. I learned so much. I mean, people who walked on hot coals and they did all kinds of things that it was unbelievable. They had to have demons, but they just taught us that they would win no matter what the case was,
right?
And no matter what we'd do, they could still beat us.
Yeah.
Well, we came the last night, and it was 5,000 people came to our services. We were thrilled to death. It was beautiful. We're going to have time to really, you know, win.
Mm-hmm.
And right when church was starting at, 7 o'clock, the biggest rainstorm you ever heard about came upon us, and 5,000 people left the stadium outside. And you know what? It was like in my ears, I could hear the devil laughing at us.
Yeah.
And we came down to about 10 people. And we had church with 10 people in the rain. was crazy.
Dang.
But I said, well, Lord, I learned a lesson tonight. The devil really has his way of doing things that can disrupt mm-hmm. God's people.
And he's desperate. He's desperate because he knows he's lost. He just wants to drag as many people down as he can before it's over. And we need to understand the desperateness of this spiritual battle. But it's the real deal. And your soul really does matter. And that's why these things are relevant. I can't overstate that. It's my mission in life.
Hey, how do demons react to the name of Jesus?
They can't stand before the name of Jesus.
So they're just, if you plead the blood of Jesus, mm-hmm. they have to leave.
Yeah. Now, it's not magic. You can't be an individual. Now, obviously, I can't step on the sovereignty of God. God may do as he so chooses, right? But here's what I understand from Scripture. Submitted believer, you know, power of the Holy Spirit, abiding with Christ, you know, that prevents humankind from manipulating God. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So not just anybody can't use this as a quote-unquote magic potion and throw out the name of Jesus and thus setting God over man. God becomes a tool that man can use to win the spiritual battle. Submitted believer confronts a demon, and that submitted believer has their faith in Jesus Christ and abides in the power of the Holy Spirit. That demon is already done, and he knows it.
What's God going to eventually do with Satan and the demons? At the end time, when we go to heaven, where are they going?
Oh, my goodness. Well, to get into eschatology, now you want to got another 7 or 8 hours of this program?
No, I don't want to get these people who are listening to us saying they're getting out of my head now, so we better turn to another station.
No.
Okay.
We need to just simply understand this. I'm called a pan-millennialist, right? I believe it will all pan out in the end. Jesus wins. God wins this, but there will be, at the end time, to make a long story short, a filtering process, for lack of a better term, where folks on earth will have an opportunity to make their decision, the last opportunity. We call it the end time. Some folks call it the apocalypse, all of those different things, but there will be an opportunity to side up and choose, and that filtering process will follow through. Finally, evil and Satan and the demons will be forever dealt with and locked away, for lack of a better term. Again, we use human terms for this, right? But locked away from the recreated heaven and earth. They will not be a part of the new heaven and the new earth.
Well, I'm glad we don't have voodoo services in America. If we have them, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
When I got to Haiti,
yeah,
voodoo is 100%. Mm-hmm. Even when Christians get saved, they go to the church and say to the pastor, "Hey, I'm sick." And if they don't get healed, you know what? They go leave the church and go right back to a voodoo service to get what they feel like they need.
Can I mention the name of another pastor? Is that okay?
Sure.
His name is John Thumma, and he is a Church of God pastor for the Navajo Nations. And he has a couple of churches out in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're describing there is what he has dedicated his life now to speaking to and into. And that is all the Native American religions, lots of naturalism, as you can imagine, that sort of thing. And he fights that constantly. The Native American will come around to belief in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, but then wants this sort of proof. And if it doesn't get it, there's this fallback position. There's this fallback religion. He works through that all of the time. And it just sounded like something that he would say when we talk. So, but he's got a fascinating ministry.
You know, that kind of moment, I'm talking released about it. But it was tough. It was tough on me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't eat for 3 days.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep for 3 days. And the drums rolled on after the... We went to bed, and I just feared for people who were struggling with their life,
mm-hmm.
thank God, if you live in America and you live in a WPFG every day and you're sensing that we have something worthwhile to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got into this. How did we get into demon talk?
You brought it up.
Me?
You brought it up. But, you know, I'm just thinking, you said, why do we, yesterday's program, we talked about why do we have the Bible? Well, there's a lot in the Bible about maintaining and developing and growing our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is part of the reason why we sharpen one another. We have these conversations. We have radio stations like this that speak this truth and aren't afraid to. And that is very, very important because Satan and his minions, one of the easiest and best tactics that they use, especially for what I call submitted believers, situation happens in the life of a submitted believer, Satan begins to bring these thoughts and feelings that God could have prevented this, God could have stopped this, God is worthless, do you really believe this? The submitted believer begins to feel isolated, right? The straggling from the pack, and then boom, you know, Satan jumps in again with more and more lies and draws that believer away from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So,
well, we can get into all the sick.
We stay in conversation. That's what we
can
do.
Get into sickness and disease and how we have power over that.
Mm-hmm.
Your church still believes in praying for the sick?
We do.
And I don't know very much about the Church of God, but I think I have a good opinion of what that church does and is and what God is producing through it. And when I meet a man like you and learn the powerful information that you carry with you automatically comes out of your life, comes out of your conversation, that's great. That's great. I'm impressed with who you are. The Bible says, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee."
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a great prayer to pray if you're sick and afflicted. I mean, I've got some hospital visits to make after this is over today. So I'm asking the Lord, hey, take away all these sicknesses and take your diseases out of, like they did in Egypt's bondage. They got a hold of God. And the Bible is in my mind, the Bible is full of scriptures that talk about sickness and disease. And
there's a way that I've come, and this is very recent for me, but as I've, one of my recent studies of the New Testament, do you realize that none of the apostles prayed for anyone to be healed? They simply claimed the healing in the name of God. So there, I've come across this way of thinking about prayer that can be summed up like this. Pray before, not for. Now chew on that for a while.
Whoa.
So when we live as a submitted believer or a spiritual leader of any sort, pray before, not for. And now I'm just coming to terms with this, and I can't elaborate in great length, but I really want to explore that New Testament idea when the apostles prayed before. And we see it in Jesus Christ as well. Father, if there is any way that this cup can be taken from me, let it be so. But if not, not my will, but yours. And then he goes. And the apostles do the same thing. They pray in their quiet place, and they pray the power of the Holy Spirit. And then they go and they lay hands on people and are healed. I want to begin to explore that paradigm of prayer, of pray before, not for, and how that relates to sickness and healing and spiritual, physical, emotional, all the realms. So,
well, the Bible says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what I want you to do, Brian. We only have 30, 40 seconds left, I think. I want you to pray for our friends today that have been listening.
Oh, Father God, I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that anyone within our voices who wishes to know more, to experience more, to feel more, just in their quiet moment, Lord, they stop and they ask you. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit will work a miracle of revelation in their lives as they want to know more about you. Lord, point them to a resource, point them to your word, point them to a person, point them to a church. Give them a sign, as we say. Lord, let it be known, let you be known, that you love them and that there is redemption and that there is always hope. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
I ask you to look out for Churchtown. Find it on the map. Drive your car there and help to fill the church on Sunday. I think you'll like the way Brian preaches. It's nice to have you as our guest today, Brian.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you for coming. Let's have a good time in the future. I know Giff will be back here asking, what did we do and how did we do it? And we'll tell him.
Absolutely, we will.
Till the next time.
God bless.
Brian Warner, Dave Colonna. Bye-bye.